But you know, dear brethren, sometimes, you know, people are a little bit afraid in regard to the coming of the Lord, particularly that they might get left behind. Because I can understand there's this element with a thief of surprise, of suddenness, of unexpectancy. And I can see sometimes how people make a false comparison of these scriptures and make it apply. I mean, I remember... There was a man down in the south of England, a doctor, Hangman Ryford. And as a little boy, he tells in one of his tracts, he was so terrified that the Lord would come and that he might be left behind, that he even got up and he was really fearful. And he tiptoed through up the stairs to his parents' room and he listened in outside the door so that he could hear the breathing and so that he knew that they were still there, and then he could go back to bed content. And he had a real fear, genuine fear in his heart, and this was often his experience. And yet, you know, the Lord used it because he trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, and he became a great gospel preacher in the south of England, in Bournemouth. He preached in the Victoria Hall, public hall, Sunday by Sunday, to 1,000 or to 1,500 people. So this fear that he had as a little boy, it certainly didn't do him any harm in his after-spiritual experience. And I would say, if there's anyone here today who doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the thing to do about it is simply to open your heart to him, simply to receive him as your Savior, say, Lord Jesus, I want to be yours, and we know that you're coming back. We don't know when you're going to come back, and so I want to trust my life, and I want to put my life over to you, and I'm sure that I can believe your word, and you have said that anyone that comes to you, you will not cast out. And you have said, if I go away, I'll come again and receive you unto myself. And you just trust the Lord Jesus. You just say those words to him. You say, I want to be yours. I want to go to be with thee, Lord Jesus, when you come back again. And you'll have salvation and you won't need to have any more doubts or fears or worries about this thing. So if there's anybody here today who doesn't know the Lord Jesus, we've already considered it. He that shall come will come and not tarry. There are no events that need to be fulfilled. There's nothing else in God's prophetic program that has to happen. He may come at any moment. He could come today. We don't know the moment, but we need to be ready. Be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, these things can happen. And so this is an opportunity. This is your opportunity, if you don't know the Savior, to trust him now. But then there's another scenario in connection with what we've read about the thief, and that is that sometimes believers have lingering doubts. And it may not be your case here today. If it's not your case, just be thankful to the Lord. But if it is your case, don't be ashamed about it, because others are in the same boat and others have had these same irrational fears. I remember, do you have daylight saving time over here in North America? Do you put the clocks back and that sort of thing? I remember a brother, he forgot to put the clock back. And he went out to the meeting at what he thought was 11 o'clock. And for everybody else, it was actually 10 o'clock. There was no one there at the meeting. He was all alone. He thought, oh my, maybe the Lord's come. But that was just momentarily. But, you know, Satan uses this sometimes to torment people. You know, fiery darts. These are his fiery darts. Fiery darts of the wicked one. Even for those who are truly trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. I've known a wife. And she told me, you know, sometimes she stretches her foot out at night just to see that her husband's still there. She's so petrified that, you know, and sometimes for whatever reason, he might go to see, you know, he might move through to another room or something and get up and be about the house, and that gives her a real fright. I've known people, I've known wives or husbands or children. And they've gone out to the shopping mall, and this was the day before cell phones. Maybe this doesn't apply now with all these modern appliances. They've gone out, they can't find their loved one. All of a sudden they think, what's happening here? Maybe everybody's gone to heaven. I'm left behind for judgment. Satan, sometimes he causes people to doubt about their salvation, you know, even though they're truly trusting the Lord Jesus, he sows all sorts of doubts in their mind. Sometimes he sows doubts about the Lord's coming. And we have to face up to this, and we have to ask ourselves, what's the answer to this one? I can give other experiences. I remember I spoke somewhere else on this subject, and the brother closed in prayer, and he said to the Lord, you know, we're sorry, you know, we shouldn't have these fears, but we do. So there it is. I'm just facing the possibility. Maybe everybody here today has a clear assurance and a firm hope, and these things don't disturb your peace. But if they do, here's what I would say to you. If you are not genuinely the Lord's, you wouldn't be having these fears and doubts. Because ungodly people, unworldly people, these sort of questions never even remotely cross their mind. They'll be saying peace and safety. When the Lord comes in the way of judgment, it'll be a total surprise to them. They're people who have no spiritual life or no work of God in their soul. This sort of thing never even enters their mind or their head. The second thing I would say, it's not necessarily a spiritual problem. It's not to do with your spiritual life. It's to do with your, what shall we say, your psychological makeup or the way that you're put together and your nervous system. I'm not a medical person. I can't talk about these things professionally. But people, you know, people have their phobias and people have their doubts. Some have fears of heights and some have fears of dogs and all sorts of things. People have these panic attacks and these moments when the most outlandish things come into their mind. So if you have some of these ideas about the Lord's coming and that you might not be ready and that you might be left behind, you've got to dismiss it and you've got to say, this isn't part of my spiritual makeup. This is not a thought or a fear. This is not a thought that the Spirit of God would produce in my life. The scripture says, perfect love casts out fear. The Lord has said, him that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. And you're going to have to dismiss these ideas. You're going to have to rationalize the whole thing. You're going to have to say to yourself, this is ridiculous. This is just something that comes from the weakness of my natural flesh. This is nothing whatsoever to do with my spiritual relationship with the Lord Jesus. And therefore, we just put it to one side. And we just need to keep trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to trust him every day. We need to trust him even when storms come. We need to trust him when difficulties come. We need to trust him when doubts come. We need simply to take God at his word and have that assurance that no matter who else in this world, we cannot trust what they say. One thing is sure, that the Lord Jesus Christ will be true to his word. And if we have put our trust in him, the matter of our soul salvation is settled for time and for all eternity. And he dealt with our sins on his first coming on the cross. He appeared once in the end of the age to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. The matter of our sins, of our standing before God, of our security, all those things have been fully, completely, absolutely cleared when our Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary. And the proof of the acceptance of his finished work by God is the fact that he was raised from the dead. God raised him. God glorified him. And he's presently in heaven. And so it says he appeared once in the end of the ages, as Hebrews chapter 9, to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And unto those that look for him, and that's really all believers. All believers are credited, and even if they've got bad theology and replacement theology and all these other things that we've talked about, in their heart of hearts, every believer has this hope in him. Every believer is looking out for the Lord's coming, even though if he can't explain it or understand it properly. But the Spirit and the bride say, come. The work of the Spirit in our hearts produces that longing for Christ in order that we, in concert with the Spirit, might say, come. On to those that look for him, that's the Christian company. He's going to appear the second time. Without sin, that means altogether apart from the question of sin, because that has already been dealt with and he's going to appear unto salvation. Now, is there any loophole there? Is there any doubt? Is there anything that Christ has not done? And so we can put all these doubts and fears and perplexities and emotional ups and downs. We can just say, that's what we are naturally. This isn't a spiritual question. We would not have these fears if we did not have a true trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can therefore say, the Lord's coming. It's not a matter of fear. It's not a matter of destruction. It's not a matter of coming as a thief for us. It's not a matter of any danger or of any surprises or of being left behind. If we know the Lord Jesus as our Savior, we want to go not by our feelings and our foibles and the ideas that come into our head. We need to take our stand firmly and fully and clearly on the Word of God. And the work of Christ secures, but it's the Word of God that assures and gives us assurance about these things. So I just wanted to mention that in regard to the Lord's coming. Not as a thief, not as something that we have to be afraid of or apprehensive about. As I say, if you've not yet trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, now is the moment. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. And if you are truly the Lord's, if you're trusting in Him, and you have some questions or perplexities or doubts, tell the Lord about it. Ask Him to take it away. He can give you the assurance. And if you're still uncertain, and if you still have doubts and worries and difficulties, talk to someone about it. Find someone with a pastoral heart. Find someone who's had experience amongst the saints of God, and you'll find that you're not alone. Sometimes people bottle up their feelings and they think there's nobody else on God's earth that feels about these things the way I do, and they're ashamed even to articulate it or say it to others. We don't need to be ashamed about these things. We've all been affected by the fall, by sin in some way or other. We've all got the flesh in us. It manifests itself to us in different ways. And so I would encourage you not to have any fears or perplexities about the Lord's coming, but take it as the Scripture decides it. He's our heavenly friend. He's a blessed Son of God. But in His love, He came down and made Himself available to us on terms of friendship. He'll come to take us to the Father's house, not to break in as a thief to the house. He'll come as the Savior, even as to our bodies. He'll come as the heavenly bridegroom to claim His bride. And He is to us the morning star before the Son of Righteousness appears. Amen. Amen.